Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 72 of The Brunch and Judge.
72 means nothing to
It
me.
means absolutely nothing. Now, I'm trying to pull out something.
Unless you're playing 72 card pickup.
You mean 52 card pickup?
With a deck of
A
tarot,
deck of tarot,
right?
72, that's fair.
Isn't that right?
A deck of
72?
72 card tarot card pickup.
Pick
I
yes. Wasn't it 72 in a deck of tarot?
think so. I think that varies too. I'm not sure.
Oh, does it?
I
Oh,
don't
okay.
know. I'm not a tarot expert just yet, so. But anyway.
With a deck of tarot,
A deck of
72
tarot.
tarot on this show.
Well, we are your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week, our topic for Brunch and Judge is going to be around the world,
Yes.
which tells you absolutely nothing. So
No, it does not.
have to hang on in. I will say, we got a comment on one of our videos. I don't know if you saw it, Claire.
I think I did.
In which
I think I did.
someone who was watching us, I think it was on YouTube, was like, "Hey, you guys should like give a warning to skip ahead, like 10, 15 minutes." And I was like, "Oh,
Saw
you
that.
know, thank you. I do appreciate the feedback because that's how we improve." I do put in the notes for those of you who don't know. In the notes of each episode, I put the timestamp of when
You
each
do.
story starts, so that if you don't want to listen to our ridiculous bullshit at the beginning of the episode, you don't have to. So, just a
Right.
heads up, check out the notes. It'll send you forward. Usually it's about 15, 20 minutes, but sometimes we get really off track.
Carried
So,
away,
apologies.
or we're really impassioned about what we're complaining about.
It's true. Or, like, one thing leads to another and to another. You know how it is. So if you'd like to skip ahead, just check the notes. The timestamp will be there. So, in that thought, Claire, what are you
Yes.
judging this week?
I don't know that it's so much a judge. Here's a story.
I
I'm going to
take
tell you a story
story time.
about what happened, about something that happened. Was this last weekend? I can't even remember. No, it was the weekend before. This last weekend was Memorial Day. It was the weekend before. I should have told it, but I forgot about it. But now it's popped back into my memory. This stuff happens. I was eating dinner with some friends downtown, and we were leaving, and this car comes. It's on the square where we are, and it's a big giant roundabout, or the circle of death, as some people like to call
Right.
it. this car comes, like, I mean, squealing around the circle. And we all kind of comment because we were where we parked, we were walking to our vehicles because we would have had to cross the street and on down. And this car comes squealing around, and we're all like, good God, that car was like going awfully fast for around
For a
the
roundabout,
square.
right?
Yeah. And then we hear as it goes right past the corner where we would have had to turn to like walk to our cars, we heard more squealing, and then we heard a crash and glass shattering. And we were like, oh my God, did that car hit another car?
Oh
And so
my
we kind of like jogged down around the corner, and no, it didn't hit another car. It like lost control and ran into a fucking building.
God.
It ran into the Justice Center.
Well,
Like,
that's not gonna go well for them.
no, there's like a tunnel where you can drive back through the Justice Center to like a parking lot behind it. And it had run into like the corner where that tunnel is, and took and it like took out a lamppost.
Oh
So there was
dear.
like a lamppost laying on the ground, and the little fancy topper was in the middle of the road, and all these people. By the time we rounded the corner, the driver had already hopped out of the car and run away. Yes.
They just left the car
And like,
behind.
yes. And airbags were deployed.
They
I mean,
weren't
we
like,
couldn't
they're
let.
gonna track me down from the
Right.
car. Anyway.
Right. So we saw the car. So it's like all these people were rushing over. So I'm like, has anybody called 911? So I
Yeah.
called 911 for the third time in my life.
Woohoo! Go Claire.
First time was when my dad fell over the banister at our house. Second time was when I saw a car hit a motorcycle when we were doing the ghost walk this
Right.
past October, and now this. And so then they were like, okay, we've gotten multiple calls on this. I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad somebody else is like, oh, good, good. But it was wild. It was just like all of a
Yeah.
sudden all these people were there, and then they're like, there's nobody in the car. The driver left. And we're like, wait, what? In that short amount of time, it took us to like round the corner. Somebody had already hopped out of the car and just taken off.
And booked it. That's hilarious.
Yes, airbags deployed. I'm like, really? With the airbag deployed like that? That's kind of nuts. And they were like, yeah, there's a woman's purse in the front seat. And it's like, were there two people? Was this car stolen? I
Oh
have so
my
many questions.
goodness.
I have so many
Probably,
questions.
she was drunk, and so she's like, I gotta get out of here, or I'm gonna get, arrested and for this. So,
Well, it was found out the next day. It was a drunk driver.
knew it.
They did catch him because
Right,
they're
right.
stupid. They think they can outrun people, and you're just like, no, no,
It's
no.
your car, it's registered to you, idiot. They can
I
find
know.
you.
Yeah, I was like, if it's stolen, that's one thing,
Right.
but if it's your vehicle, okay, I guess
Boy.
that's my judge. Why do criminals have to be so dumb?
I mean, but
Like, if you're gonna
also,
drink and drive, you're gonna leave your vehicle behind. You think they can't find you?
thank you that most criminals are so dumb that they're easy to
Right.
get. 'Cause like, thank you.
I mean,
Oh
yes.
my
It was
gosh.
wild though. We were just standing there like, what is happening right now? All these cars kept coming around the square, and there was just some rando person trying to direct traffic until actual police got there
Right.
to direct traffic. But it was just kind of like, what is happening right now? Like I said, there's a street post, street light, lamppost just like laying on the ground in the middle
Yeah.
of the road. It was kind of mayhem for a minute. It was just like, what? You know, all these people were like checking the car. Nobody was in it. I mean, that's how, I mean, like, how drunk were you that you could move that fast?
Right.
Because he must have crawled through the window because the door wasn't even open. Like, what?
Oh
Like,
my
what
God.
is
I love
happening?
it. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful that this idiot hit a building and not a person.
Or another vehicle, yes.
Right,
Because, I mean,
because
where it was right where a crosswalk was. So, I mean, he very
right.
well could have hit a pedestrian or another car,
So
which
like
I'm glad nobody
incredibly
else was in.
grateful
Yes,
for
nobody
that.
else was
But
involved.
also how like that person the next day was like, fuck, I hit the Justice Center with my car while I was drunk driving.
I
And then
know.
I left my car there thinking, they'll never find me.
I can run away. I'm gonna go on the lam,
Oh,
running
Lord.
through green space. You know, the woods behind the Justice Center.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yikes.
Yeah.
Idiots.
I
Love
know.
it. Love it.
Yes. It was fun times. It was a wild thing to happen. Like right after dinner, we were all like, okay.
Yeah, that's an excellent after dinner activity, call 911 and
It's fine.
there
Yeah.
you
Everybody would just kind of like come around the corner and they'd be like, oh. Like in their cars, they're just like, oh, can't go this way. It's like everybody's like doing these Yui things. And finally, you know, I feel like it took too long for the police to show up for this instance because it was just like, I feel like there might be another wreck because of the way that the road, like everything was situated and people were having to drive around. You know what I mean? It was just like, y'all should have been here faster than this. Like, this was a wreck that's like causing traffic disruption. You all should have been
Right.
here faster.
Eh,
I
I don't know. Maybe
guess
it's
because
if it's a non-inch
nobody
or
was hurt.
non
Yeah.
whatever, it's probably not quite as vital to get there. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. Still,
But
it was just like,
good
okay.
judge.
But yeah, that's what happened. It was like I said, it was a couple weekends ago, and I guess life got crazy, but it just popped back in my head, like, oh yeah, I never talked about that. Like, I witnessed this thing that was bizarre. And then later, like the next morning, we all just kind of texted each other, and we were like, did that really happen?
Was
Did
this
we?
real? Did
Yeah.
we see
Well, here's
this?
the thing. I know somebody who's on the police force. Here's another thing. The shift people, they don't talk to each other.
Of course not.
So
Why
like
would they?
you ask him, you're like, hey, what was that about last night? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're like, are you kidding me? A car hit the fucking Justice Center.
That wasn't like
That's
next door
not
news to each
something
other. It's
you
like,
all
hey
just.
guys, guess what happened today? Oh.
But yeah. You know, I mean, I get them not talking about like stupid shit like, oh, you know, I had somebody get mouthy or, you know, typical drunk driving stuff, but I'm like, a car hit the Justice Center. Like, I feel
Right.
like that's like kind of significant, you know? But then it's like, 'cause you know, crazy stuff will happen and you'll go, you know, he'll come in and you'll be like, hey, what was that about? He's like, I don't know. It's like, what good are you? You're supposed to give us the tea. Come on. Anyway, yeah, that's my story slash judge, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it happened a couple weekends ago. But yeah, it was crazy. I was like, what? But anyway, what is your judge or your story or whatever we're doing now?
So my judge this week is, guys, I am officially unemployed. What?
Whoa.
What? At the time of us recording this anyway, I have left my job. I have left it behind.
It is now in the
I'm done
past,
with
thank
it.
God.
I returned the keys. I put them on a Star Wars keychain. All of like my office key, my desk key, the building key, the meeting room key, all the keys, all the keys. And I put them on a like R2-D2 keychain that was left over from Star Wars Day. And I hand them to my boss and I'm like, you have to promise me that when you give these keys to the next person, that you will play Darth Vader's theme song in the background. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. And I'm like, you don't even know why that's important to me, but that's fine.
Right.
So I'm like dancing around like a crazy person, having the best time. And what made me laugh is that they very kindly had my last paycheck ready for me on my last day because I had to put all of my time in ahead of time.
Right.
So that they could pay out vacation and everything. And so it's like 3 o'clock, end of day is six on Friday. And my boss hands me my check and I'm like, wait, you're gonna pay me now for 3 hours I haven't even worked yet? And he's like, oh yeah. And it's like, so I don't even, and I'm like signing it, depositing it with my phone immediately. He's like, you can't take it back. Bye. Trying to run out the building.
I can
But no, they were so incredibly short-staffed. I stayed to the bitter end, and everyone was like, you know, you could leave. And I was like, I could, but I never have to come back. So like, it's fine. I don't
You're
mind
like,
staying.
it's yeah,
It's
it is what it is.
fine. I like peeling my name off stuff. I'm having a great time. But, and I already told this to Claire, but I'm going to share this to everyone else. So this week has been filled with really kind words and gifts from coworkers. They have gone above and beyond to let me know how much I was appreciated. And that I have really appreciated hearing that because sometimes that job was really hard. So it's nice to know that they all have good, positive associations of me having that job.
Right, yes.
But the number of times that people were saying things like, you know, I'm such a delight to work with and that, you know, I make things fun, and that even when things are really bad and everyone's really stressed out, I will come in the room and essentially lighten the mood. And I'm like, oh my God, I am the person who lights up the room. And I went, shit, I'm absolutely going to be on a Dateline episode.
And you're like, no.
No, why am I the person who lights up a room? God damn it. It's like, no, I'm supposed to be dark and hateful so that everyone will leave me alone. So,
Because that
guys,
job was so terrible. You were just trying to salvage any little bit you could. And you're like,
But like I was cracking up because even on my last day, I'm literally fixing schedule issues for a time in which I won't be there.
Right.
Like,
You're like, why is this my problem? It's
it's
not.
like, well, I don't know, how are we gonna do this? I was like, okay, well, I'll be like, this person, can you work this time? And then instead take this time off, and then this person, how about you move your day off to this day so that we can have a 3-day week? Like, I'm helping people move stuff around so it'll work out, and I'm going, I don't even work here. You got to be able to do this on
You're
your
like,
own
I
now,
am
guys.
done.
You got to be able to do it on your own. You can do it. You can have conversations. It'll be fine. But
And
so,
now it's not your problem
no,
anymore.
except I did. So, when I took this job, I was given a very nicely designed piece of paper from Canva that had like maybe 10 things listed. And I don't mean like explained, I mean like 10 like one or two word things
Like
that
bullet points,
kind of
like
like that
do, do, do.
that I was responsible for without any
Right.
real context. Like, I had worked with the person who had my job, so like she sort of walked me through some things, but so like I had nothing really to start with. I left the person who's coming next with a 10 page heavily bulleted document of my job and all of my current contact information for if they have any questions, because I'm sure I forgot something I'm in charge of because I'm in charge of so much stuff. So
Right.
I was like, feel free to call or text or email if you have any questions, any concerns, or if you just need to vent, because like I know, like I can't write. I know that this job is going to suck your soul and you're gonna come across some unique personalities and you're not going to have the vaguest idea how to handle it. Feel free to call me because I can't say that, but that's implied.
Yes.
It's implied.
'Cause how long were you there? Was it 3?
2.5 years.
Okay.
Which is half a year longer than anybody else. So,
Nice.
I made it past the 2-year mark, just barely, but I did it. So.
Right. Yay.
Freedom, freedom. But so it's been good. I mean, I want good things for all of my coworkers. I hope that the next person who takes my job does even better than I did because I wasn't great at
Right.
everything. So, like, best of luck to them.
Right.
May they love it and last forever. But I'm done. So, if anyone's listening and you're in Connecticut, feel free to reach out. I'm going to need a job starting around August. Preferably not a library, though. Okay. Cool. Thanks. Bye.
Like, I'm kind of done. I'm over the
Just,
library
I
thing.
need a little bit of a break from that. Or I need absolute power. I don't need this weird, I don't have absolute power, but I'm doing all the job of absolute power. So,
Right.
that's all.
Right.
It's fine. Okay. So that's my judge. I'm free.
Yay. You're free. And now you have to move.
And now I have to move again. That's fine. It'll be fun. I'm excited about it.
It's fine. Yes. It's fine.
All right. So I guess that brings us to our topic today of around the world. World, world,
Yes.
world. Claire, I believe you go first this week. What story have you brought us from around the world?
I'm going to be talking about Amelia Earhart.
I had that thought. I had that thought. But then I was like, nah. But here's Claire doing all the plane crashes. She's gonna love her plane crashes. Literally just edited the disappearing plane episode. So I'm like,
It's just like this topic. I'm like looking and I'm like, what the hell? I don't even,
I understand.
Like, how do you even search for something
That's the
like
bigger
this?
issue, is like you have to think of something that will fit it in order to,
Like, it's just so hard to like search for something that even fits within this topic. And I'm just like, ah. I mean, I could have just been like a boring history teacher and been like, I'm going to talk to you about Magellan.
Ooh, Christopher Columbus.
Ew. Ew. That's gross.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
That's gross.
is.
No, no
I
thank
may eventually, if
you.
this comes up again, I may do my judgment of the Crusades because it's sort of around the world.
It's
There are
sort of
so
around
many Crusades, and they were all stupid, every last one of them.
that's true. That's fair.
Okay. So tell
All
us
right.
about Amelia Earhart and yet another plane crash. Thanks, Claire.
All the crashes, apparently. I do all the
Next time,
crashes.
Claire's gonna do the story of the soccer team that got stuck in the Andes after a plane crash, started eating dead bodies. It's gonna
Stop
happen. She's gonna do it.
Yeah. Don't give away all my secrets. Okay. Anyway, all right. Amelia Mary Earhart was born July 24th, 1897, in Atchison, Kansas.
I'm going to say,
Her
I had no
parents.
idea what her middle name was. I don't think I've ever heard it in my whole life.
Me
Amelia
neither.
Mary? Yeah,
Yes.
that's, they
She
should
was
have done
named
better.
after both of her grandmothers. And oh, you're gonna love this because her mom's name was also Amelia. It's your
Hate.
favorite.
I hate that garbage. Stop it. Okay, go ahead.
But she went by Amy. The mom went
Mom?
by
Okay.
Amy. So there's Amy and then Amelia. So,
Sure,
and
sure.
the and she had the nickname Millie. So it wasn't like
Fine, I
it's.
guess, but only
You're like,
vaguely, only vaguely fine.
Anyway, her parents were Edwin Earhart and Amy Otis. Amelia Otis. She had a younger sister, Grace Muriel Earhart, who went by Muriel. Nicknames, she went by Millie, and her sister went by Pidge. I don't know why.
Pidge?
Pidge.
I guess they called her Pigeon and then it got shortened to Pidge.
Maybe it didn't say,
Weird.
but
Okay.
Pidge.
Let's not bring that back.
Yeah, no. So they had a rather unconventional upbringing that Amy Earhart wasn't interested in raising nice little girls.
Fair.
Yeah. Oh, real quick. Sources, Wikipedia, biography.com, nationalgeographic.com, and womenhistory.com or .org. I'll have to go back and check that. I can't remember if it was
That
.com or
something.
.org. Yeah. They both were rather tomboyish. They weren't forced to always just wear dresses, but they would wear like the bloomer things under the dresses. So it was like pants. Because it was like, oh, look, I'm free to go climb trees and do things. They did spend a lot of their childhood outside climbing trees, hunting rats with rifles. They
Okay.
would collect moths and katydids and worms and tree toads. All the things that little boys do. And one time, with the help of her uncle, Amelia made a ramp and attached it to the roof of their tool shed.
Oh
And
dear.
it mimicked a roller coaster that she saw in St. Louis. And so she went down this ramp in like a wooden box, and then the box busted. She busted her lip and tore her dress, but she was like all excited. And she was like, look, Pidge, it's like I can fly. So, yeah, she was kind of like a little daredevil too. So
I mean,
she
that's
was re
fair.
she was really like a little boy. Let's just be honest. When she was 10,
She was just doing her thing.
that's right. When she was 10, Amelia's dad, Edwin, was transferred to Des Moines, Iowa. And that's when she saw her first aircraft, was at the Iowa State Fair.
Ooh.
And at the time, since she really wasn't interested, he tried to get her to like take a ride on it, but she said that it was a thing of rusty wire and wood and not at all interesting. So she was 10 and she's like, meh, I don't care. But Edwin Earhart was an alcoholic and not good with money. So
Well, that's not a shocker. Okay.
it's one of those things where it was like they would do okay, but then he would go on one of his little benders and he'd become money would like get tight and things would become hard. So then Amelia and Muriel were sent back to Kansas, still with their grandparents, while mom and dad stayed in Iowa. So they were homeschooled by a governess, and but Amelia was extremely fond of reading. She loved to read. 1909 that your Hart family was back under one roof in Des Moines. I guess he got his shit back together for a little bit and got money back. And that was the first time Amelia would be in public school at the age of 12 in the seventh grade. Sorry. Yeah, gross.
Tis
God,
the
just like,
allergy season, I understand.
I know it's awful. 1915, the Earharts moved to St. Paul, Minnesota. He worked for a railroad company. And then while he was there, he tried to get another position in Springfield, Missouri, but it fell through. And I don't know if he quit his job at St. Paul, but because the other one fell through, it looked like he was going to have like this whole big, like, I'm not going to have a job. So Amy's just like, deuces. They seem very on again, off again. Like it was always like she'd take the girls and leave and go somewhere. And then they were back together. And then she'd take the girls and send them. Yeah. So this time she took the girls and went to Chicago, moved in with some family who lived there. And so while they were there, Amelia searched for a high school that had the best science program instead of just going to the high school that was closest. So she went to Hyde Park High School and she graduated in 1916 because she wanted, because the school that was closest, she said that their chemistry department just basically, it was just like a sink. Like it was not a big, their chemistry was like meh. In 1917, she visited Muriel in Canada and World War II was going on at the time. And while she was up there, she happened to see some wounded soldiers returning from the war. And so she decided she was going to get trained as a nurse and she stayed up there and she helped. And she began working in Toronto. And she wound up working with a bunch of pilots and she would hear their stories. And that started like sparking her interest in
And then she
flying,
was
hearing
like,
all these pilots.
I want to do that.
Right.
Sounds
Yeah.
way more fun than this.
Right. And then she attended Columbia University for a year. And she dropped out and went to California to be with her parents, who apparently got back together.
Well,
And she went with her dad, 1920. She and her father went to an aerial meet in Long Beach, California, and her dad paid for her to be a passenger on like a 10-minute airplane flight. And that was when she first knew that she had to fly because she was finally up in the air and it was just 10 minutes, but she was like, I have to do this. And so after that, Amelia recruited a female aviator, Nita Snook, to be her flying instructor. And she worked a bunch of odd jobs to pay for her lessons. Like she was a photographer, a stenographer, truck driver, to because she just wanted to fly and she needed to pay for these lessons. And then she wound up cut her hair short to look like other women aviators because, you know, they tuck it under that hat with the goggles and all that. In 1923, she wound up getting her pilot's license, and she was one of only 16 women in the world to
In the
get her pilot's
world.
in the world to have her pilot's license. Yeah. And she wound up purchasing a secondhand biplane. She painted it yellow, and she called it the Canary. Oh, but before she got her license, which I was like, this is weird that she did this before she actually got her license. I don't know if this is part of her like lessons or flying training or whatever. In 1922, she got to 1,400 feet, which was a world record for altitude for a female pilot. So she was already setting records before she even got her license. In 1924, her mother's inheritance had run out. So her parents divorced. Amelia sold her plane because she couldn't keep up with it because she didn't have any more money. She moved with her mother to Boston. And tried to go back to Columbia University again, but she wound up having to dropping it out because she had no more finances. Money was an issue. So she got a job as a teacher. She also got a job as a social worker. And in 1927, she became a member of the American Aeronautical Society's Boston chapter. And she started to write articles promoting flying for a local newspaper. And she started to develop a following. So she kind of became a local celebrity in Boston. Just because she was a woman writing about flying, because nobody was doing that. And then a year later, in 1928, she was the first female passenger on a transatlantic flight. And it was from Newfoundland to Wales. And when she got back from that, They started nicknaming her Lady Lindy, because Charles
Oh,
Lindbergh
right.
was the guy who did the first transatlantic solo flight. So when she got back, she wrote a book because the flight itself lasted 20 hours and 40 minutes. And
Wow.
that's the name of the book was 20 hours, 40 minutes. And it was about her experience being a passenger. And a guy named George Putnam, he was also one of the ones who was hit, like, he publicized like the whole flight thing, like her being the passenger and, first female, blah, 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 But he was the collaborator and publisher of her book, and he promoted the book with scheduling like lecture tours and product endorsements, which led to promotions and contributions to women's fashion in Cosmopolitan magazine.
Oh, well.
And she became associate editor of Cosmo.
Wow.
And with all of this, she hoped to influence her, that her influence would contradict all these negative stereotypes about women, and it would help open more opportunities for women in especially like male-dominated fields.
Which at that
And
point
it's a,
was almost every field.
oh, absolutely, yeah. And this isn't when she was a kid that she would keep a scrapbook of anytime she'd see a paper article about a woman that did something big in a male-dominated field, that she would cut it out and keep it. That she always was fascinated by women who were able to make a name for themselves in these, when men were the it back then. It was like, it's all men. In 1929, she did a successful solo flight across North America, and she also entered the Women's Air Derby, which was flown from Santa Monica to Cleveland, and she placed third in that. And in 1931, she set another world altitude record at 18,415 feet. And she also became the first president of the 99s, which was a female pilot organization.
Oh, well, there you go.
And also in 31, she wound up marrying her publicist, George Putnam. And he had previously been married to a woman who was the Crayola heiress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there was like speculation that he and Amelia were like having an affair, but actually his wife, had had an affair with like their kid's tutor. Yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
I know. But when they got divorced, he immediately started trying to pursue Amelia, and she turned him down a couple of times. But then she finally said yes. But on their wedding day, and this is what I think is hilarious. I love this so much.
Okay.
I'm here for this energy. On their wedding day, she sent him like a letter, and a little snippet from this letter says, "I want you to understand, I shall not hold you to any medieval code of faithfulness to me, nor shall I consider myself bound to you similarly."
Okay. All right.
She's also a badass because she didn't change her last name.
No kidding.
She's
Damn.
like, yeah, I'm not changing my last. I'm
Like, I'm not
keeping
changing
Amelia.
my
I'm
name. I'll marry
keeping
you,
Earhart.
but like
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be faithful. You don't have to be faithful. And I'm keeping my last name, thanks. Right. I'm here for it. You go, Amelia.
Was like, wow, she is ballsy, and I am here for this. I had no idea. I was like, interesting. So she wanted to be the first to circumnavigate the world. And in 1937, she got together a crew. She had a Lockheed Electra L-10E plane. I don't know what that means.
But that sounds great.
Yes. Her crew was a guy named Captain Harry Manning, who was going to be her first navigator. Fred Noonan was her second navigator, and then a guy named Paul Mance was her tech advisor, and he actually was like a stunt plane person. Like he did stunt plane in like I guess shows and movies and stuff like that. Their flight plan was to start in Oakland, California, fly to Hawaii, then Australia, then India, somewhere in Africa, Florida, and then back to California. They made it to Hawaii and hung out there for 3 days because they had to do some repairs to the plane. When they were taking off to leave, something went wrong, and there were like some people say they saw a tire blowout. Other people said it was pilot error, including the guy, Paul Mance. He said it was pilot error, but there's like discrepancies in what happened. Anyway, she had to like loop around and just come like immediately back. And whatever happened, the plane was so bad they had to ship it back to California for repairs. So they just had to like scrap that flight. So when she got back, she and her husband George got additional funding to try again for a new flight, and they adjusted the flight plan and they were going to go the opposite direction. So instead of going across the Pacific, then they were going to go across to from Oakland to like Florida first and that way around. And this time Manning and Mance couldn't join due to previous commitments and something about Mann. There was some kind of like something with his contract where he couldn't do it this time. So this time it was just going to be Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan. And so June 1st, they made it to Miami on that first leg. And then they flew on and they were able to make it all the way to Ley, New Guinea. And that was June 29th, 1937. So they had flown 22,000 miles of this trip, this world around the world trip. And they only had 7,000 miles to go to get back to where they needed to go. So in Ley, New Guinea, Amelia got dysentery.
Oh,
Yeah. And
not
so
good.
they had to stay, no. So they had to stay several days for her to recuperate, obviously. And they had to make several adjustments to the plane. They wound up doing like extra fuel on board. And it said they packed the parachutes away because at this point they were just going to be flying over water. So there was no point in having them.
It's like just parachute into the water and die. So
Yeah. Or just, yeah.
fair.
So they planned to head to this place called Howland Island, which was between Australia and Hawaii. And apparently it's so teeny tiny. It's like 6,500 feet by 1,600 feet.
Oh my, that is tiny.
Yes. And so it was this all this stuff about using celestial navigation and radio communication with the U.S. Coast Guard ship Itasca, and to like find it. I mean, because especially like if it was cloudy that day, you couldn't use. I mean, because it was like you wouldn't be able to see it if you were so high up, like it was that
That
small.
small.
Yeah, and so they wound up leaving July 2nd, 1937 at 12:30 a.m. And they said, and I don't know why they did this. They left certain radio equipment behind so they would have more fuel canisters. And somebody said that they thought the antenna might have, the radio antenna on the plane might have been damaged, and that they possibly were using inaccurate maps.
Oh no.
So where they thought the island would be was actually 6 miles off from where it actually
Oh
was.
no.
Yes. And there was also like a miscommunication with the check-in time with the Itasca Coast Guard ship because they were using naval time zone and they were on Greenwich Civil Time, which there was like a 30-minute difference. And there was also like a miscommunication on which frequency they were using.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it was just, yeah.
Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Got
It
it.
was like a cluster, it just
Ugh.
seemed like. So at 7:20 a.m., they reported their position 20 miles southwest off of the Nukumanu Islands. And at 7:42, Itasca received a transmission from them and replied, but they're not sure if it was received. And I think they tried calling back a couple times, and that's when they realized that they had lost all contact. So then they the Itasca began immediate search and then couldn't find anything. And ultimately, once they realized, I guess FDR at the time, you know, because it's like this, everybody knows who Amelia Earhart is at this time and what she's trying to do. So ultimately, FDR authorized a search party that cost like $4 million. It was like 66 aircraft and 9 ships to go out and look for this plane and Amelia and Fred Noonan. And he called it off July 18th, 1937. So he looked for them for like, I don't know, 2 weeks ish. And then, but George Putnam, her husband, he financed additional search and even like called on the use of psychics to help find his wife. So, I mean, obviously he cared for her because, I mean, or I feel like he would have just been like, eh, give up. But by October of 1937, he was like, it's not gonna happen. And then 2 years later, January 5th, 1939, she was d officially declared dead. And then obvious theories that they just crashed into the ocean is, you know, a big one. However, there's one that they landed in the Nakumaro. I've looked this up, and it's always like, ah, there's so many R's and O's in this. Nakumaroro Reef, which is a tiny island 350 miles southeast of the Howland Island, which is what they were aiming for.
Oh wow,
So
okay.
they would have gone like way
That's
off
way,
course.
way off course, yeah.
Yeah. And they think that they landed there because they found there have been sign like found improvised tools, pieces of clothing,
Oh.
some kind of plexiglass that matched like the size and the shape of like a window from the plane. And they found a jar of freckle cream, which she
Freckle
had.
cream? Interesting.
Freckle cream. Yeah. In 1940, they did find bones. Like somebody had sat under a tree and died. So and then in 2014, they found a piece of the plane in this area, which they were like, this, it matched the description of her plane. In 2018, there was an analysis of the bones found in 1940, because we have the technology now. And so it said Earhart is more similar to the bones than 99% of individuals in a large reference sample. Strongly supports the Nakumaro bones belong to Amelia Earhart. So it's not like 100%,
But
but
it's
it's
like
most
the odds
likely.
are it is her. Is basically what you're
Yes.
saying. It's like we can't confirm 100%, but odds are this is her.
Yes.
Wow. I did not
That
know
they
that at
were
all.
just like stranded. They landed or crashed and lived. And there were also like a few days after this happened, like they went missing. There were, I think they said in Canada, that they were still able to use some of the radio on the airplane. Like the airplane wasn't totally shot. They were able to, like, somebody in Canada picked up a transmission saying that we're still alive, tell my husband. And then somebody else, like, I can't remember where they said it was, but it was almost on the other side of the country. That's like, we've been here for days. You know, it was just they, and that was like the last time. It was like 3 days later after that one in Canada got it, then somebody else heard something like over a radio. And so they were
Oh.
still, so they were alive for a while. But I guess it was just one of those things like they just ran out of supplies and starved to death on this island because it sounds like there's not anybody that lives there.
Yeah, it's it, there's nothing there.
I
Wow.
mean, you're
Gosh,
talking like a castaway
that's worse. I
situation.
guess in my mind, well, several things. One, I thought she was alone. I didn't realize she had anyone with her. But two, like, I thought she just disappeared. Like, she was supposed to land somewhere and she didn't, so they just assumed her plane went down somewhere. But to think that she actually survived on an island for a while, but
Right.
no one looked for her there, so she
And
died.
also, I didn't even realize that she was married.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that either.
Like, there are so many things like going into this. I'm like, man, I did not know
Yeah,
that.
I knew very little of that. I did know that she ended up going the opposite way flying than she meant to, meaning
Yeah.
that she would have done the long leg first, so she wouldn't have been as tired and would have been less likely to make a mistake. But
Yeah.
that's all I knew, honestly. So, that's so sad. What a
I
downer.
know. It is. But yeah, so that is my around the world, well, almost around
Almost
the
did it. That's so sad. Like, I almost made it,
Almost
and
around.
then I didn't. Then I
Yes. Then I
landed on
died.
an island and died, waiting to be rescued. Well, so,
Yes.
well, like, transmitting stuff that people could hear. Oh, that's so
Yeah.
awful. Oh,
Right.
I hate that.
I know. And they said also that they found like a woman's compact
Ugh.
like later, you know, so they're like you said, not 100%, but it's like there
Right,
are things
but
there that are like
highly
they're pretty
likely
sh
is what we're going with. It's highly
Yes, highly
likely that
likely.
somehow she ended up, they ended up on this
See, and
island.
I'm like you. I thought it was like a Bermuda Triangle situation.
Yeah.
Like she just
She just
disappeared.
disappeared.
Like
I think that's just how it's been told to me, maybe, but wow.
Right.
That
But it
was
was just like
excellent. Thank you, Claire. I mean, like,
You're
I
welcome.
knew not enough of that story.
Yes. But anyway, yes. So that's the story of Amelia Earhart and her almost around the world. But I mean, she still has been a good one too for like badass women in history. I mean,
I won't hold you to that medieval concept of
I was like, I have to stick that in there because
it's too
that was like
amazing.
I found that and I was like, that's amazing that she wrote that
The medieval
poem on her
concept of
wedding day.
faithfulness. I won't hold you to that. Okay. And
I
you won't expect me to be held to that either.
know.
Okay. Got it. Boy.
It's like, I know. I'm like, so do you all really love each other? Like, what's going on here? The fact that
Yeah,
it's like,
because it
oh, we're
sounded
gonna
more
have an
like
open
he kind of
marriage.
wore her down and she was like, all right, fine, but
But yeah.
we're not requiring faithfulness then. It's fine.
It's
Okay.
like, so don't tell me they didn't have open marriages back then. Psh,
Amelia
pshaw.
Earhart.
She was a pioneer,
Yes, she
let
was.
me tell
Thank
you,
you,
in
Amelia.
more ways than one. For women, for marriages, in clothing. I mean, she was all over the place.
She really was. Very
I
cool.
mean, seriously. Anyway, so what story have you brought us? Because you sent me that cryptic text, and I was like, I don't even know what to say to that. So.
Okay. So the story that I am bringing you is the story of the sandwich that changed the world and created Pilates and vegetarian sausage.
Sandwich.
Sandwich.
Okay, I'm here
My
for food.
sources are medium.com, the Smithsonian, the New York Post, PBS, Wikipedia, and Britannica.
Britannica.
So, my story is about World War One. Yay!
Yay! Hey, where are we in the same time period
that's just who we are.
again?
We can't help ourselves. We just can't help ourselves.
We cannot.
Okay,
Always in the
so
same time period.
we're gonna start off kind of at the end of the 1800s. Kind of in the back half of the 1800s, we still have the Ottoman Empire hanging out, but it was
Okay.
weakening. And Austria-Hungary was like, we like Bosnia. We're gonna just take that. That's ours now. It's ours. We like it.
Yeah, it's ours.
And Serbia, of course, was like, I don't love this because Bosnia is our people. We
Right.
want Bosnia. And they really wanted Bosnia to join Serbia so that they could unite the people. And also in this time, we have Russia being all hateful because they hated that Austria had all this power. So it's kind of like the end of the 1800s is where things are.
Yeah.
Just people being countries being countries and being all like, I want that.
Right.
No, I want that. No, I want that, you know. But by the time we get to the beginning of the 1900s, the Ottoman Empire has started regaining some strength. And so Austria was not wanting to give up Bosnia. And then we had the Balkan Wars. This is very quick, just like overview to get us to where we need to be.
Gotcha.
The Balkan Wars happen in 1912 to 1913. Bosnia and Serbia still really wanting to like unite together. They're very angry that Austria is still like holding on to Bosnia. It's a whole big
Right.
thing, blah, blah, blah. But so Serbia is like, fuck this. Let's get the Black Hand involved.
The Black Hand.
Which, as far as I can tell, was, you know, sort of like a resistance effort, a terrorist group. I don't know how you want to, you know, it depends on what side you're on as to what you consider the Black
Right.
Hand.
Right.
So they were wanting to, you know, help Serbia out. And so that is kind of the setup when in 1914, Archduke Franz Ferdinand decides he needs to prove his power, throw his weight around as the heir to the Austrian throne. And so he's like, you know what we need to do? We need to really just take our dick out, slap people around with it by going to, like, because it's absolutely what this is. Let's all
Right,
just own
right.
it. By going to Sarajevo, which is the capital of Bosnia, and being like, I'm gonna go look at the troops because they're my troops because it's my country is basically
Right.
the thing. So he goes, and it's June 28th, 1914. Franz and his wife, Sophie or Sophia, I forget which one, were met at the rail station that they of course took the royal train in, as you do. So they're met at the royals or at the rail station, and they are taken to City Hall for a big reception. So this is a planned route that their car is on. People are lining the streets, you know, partly to be like, it's, you know, in the same way that people would line the streets if Prince William went
Right.
to one of their whatevers, you know, it's
Right,
our
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. You know, let's go watch and look and cheer or jeer, who knows, whichever side you're on.
Yes, right.
But on this route, there were seven members of the Black Hand waiting for the car to drive through. One man, I'm going to butcher these names. I'm just telling you now. So prepare yourself.
Yes.
One man named Nijelko Cabrinovic threw a grenade at the Archduke's car. But it was a grenade that had a very long fuse. So it bounced off the car and ended up going underneath the car behind it before it ever exploded. At which point it did cause some injuries. I don't think anyone died, but a couple of people were injured as a result of the explosion. Cabrinovic, of course, is like shit, 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 shit. You know, so he does what he's supposed to do. He swallows his cyanide capsule because that's where we are. Everybody's got their cyanide capsules. And he
Right.
jumps into the river Miljaka, Miljaka, Miljaka. He jumps into the river.
Gotcha.
River. However, he didn't die because the river was only 2 feet deep, and it turns out his cyanide capsule had expired, so it wasn't as effective as it needed to be.
Oh no.
So he neither died from poisoning
No.
nor from drowning, and so he was captured and arrested.
So, note to self, cyanide
Make
capsules
sure those
can
things are up to date,
expire.
man. No, gotta check those expiration dates. Which, how
Yikes.
ridiculous.
Dang.
I know.
There's a flaw. Oh my gosh.
So the other six men at that point scatter after the failed attempt. They're like, oh shit, let's get out of here. So Archduke, he's still alive. They continue on to City Hall, where he goes and he has like the reception, but he's also kind of complaining about his treatment at this point in the city. You know, people trying to like blow him up, hurting his other people, being a, you know, whatever. But after the big reception is over and the speeches are made and he's done his whatever he's supposed to do, he decides that he wants to go to the hospital to visit the people who did get injured from the grenade. And they kind of decided in and amongst themselves that they should not take the planned route that they had like set aside for their usage while they were in the city. That instead of being on the planned route where they had a grenade lobbed at them, perhaps instead they should take an alternate route to go to the hospital on the way out of town. And so everyone's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And they all agree. But then they didn't bother to tell the drivers that they're going to take a different route.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. This
It's
seems like
so
I
stupid.
just
It's so stupid. Guys, this all caught, I mean, we all know this caused World War One. So, like, why? So they all get into the cars, the drivers start driving, and like there's a general who's sitting up with the driver in the same car as the Archduke, and he's like, "What are you doing? We're not supposed to be taking this path. We're supposed." He's like, "We're not supposed to be on this route. We're supposed to take something different." And the driver's like, "Oh, well, no one told me." So he then slows down the car to do a turn to turn around so they can go on a different route. And he does this right in front of Schiller's Delicatessen. I mean, it's not really a delicatessen. I think that's just a, what's it? It's some kind of a cafe named Schiller's. And inside the cafe is a man called Gavrilo Princip, who is another member of the Black Hand that had been part of that first assassination plot, but then scattered because it failed. And it seems he had, you know, maybe in order to deal with the stress and anxiety, or just because he's a little peckish, he happened to just go to
He's like,
this
well, oh,
cafe to get a
sad
sandwich.
day. My assassination attempt
Right.
failed. Let's go get some coffee.
I mean, well, he's hungry. He's got to get a sandwich. You know, it failed. I'm hungry. I need to eat something. I'm sure since this is, you know, Sarajevo, it's not really a sandwich, and that's just what we've collectively come to at this point. But we're calling it a sandwich because I don't know what else it was. So he's at this cafe. He's got him a sandwich, and as he comes out of the cafe, he sees the car driving the Archduke coming and doing the slow, like kind of stopping to slow and turn around, and he's like, "Opportunity knocks."
He's like, second chances.
And so he comes out, he has his gun with him, and he shoots the Archduke from a distance of only 5 feet, because that's how close he can get to the car. And so he ends up hitting the Archduke in the neck, as well as his wife Sophie is here. His wife Sophie gets shot in the abdomen. Now he too, because he did not know yet, know, but he too took his cyanide pill, which, as we know, unfortunately was expired and not working. So he didn't die. And so he holds his gun to his head, but couldn't bring himself to shoot himself. And so he ends up getting arrested instead.
Oh no.
Oh, the Black Hand. Apparently, they really need to ensure that their cyanide capsules are up to date, and maybe just hand out new ones for each one of these things. Saying, just saying. So the Archduke and his wife both die from this attack, and Austria, of course, is pissed, as they should be, and so Austria blamed Serbia. Since Serbia had been encouraging the Black Hand to do this by, you know, giving them weapons, it's like, here's some weapons to go do things. So Austria's mad and they want to invade Serbia because mad. And Serbia's like, fuck this, we're calling on our besties, Russia, to come help. And Austria's like, well, hell, we can't handle Russia alone. So they call on Germany for help. And Germany's like, yeah, sure. But that really pissed off the French. And so Germany was like, we'll defeat France by attacking them through Belgium. But Belgium had a guarantee from Britain that if anybody attacked them, they would attack the attacker. And so this is insane. So they spent like 2 weeks. This happened on it was like June 14th. They spent like 2 or 3 weeks like having diplomatic relations, in which all this was happening. Everyone was arguing, and it's like, no, but I'll help you, and I'll help you, and we'll help you, and we hate you, so we're gonna do this, but I'll help you. All that nonsense. And so on July 28th, 1914, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia, and within a week, the whole of Europe was at war. And so we have World War I.
Hooray.
Hooray! Now, I'm not going to go into World War I because it's a lot. But as you know, all of those people and more all got caught up into the war, and it was bad. And so when we finally get to the end of World War I, when we finally have ceased, everything is done, there are now all these new states in Eastern Europe that are weak and very vulnerable to the rise of Hitler, who's going to be coming down the pipe soon. There were a lot of sanctions that were levied on Germany, as well as just the general devastation left from World War I that made Germany more susceptible to Hitler's rise in power and that nationalism push that really encompassed Germany. Also, as a result of World War I, the US adopted a policy of isolationism that kept them out of the growing crisis into World War II until we got drug
They had
in.
to. Yep.
As a result of World War I, four imperial dynasties collapsed: the Habsburgs of Austria-Hungary, the Hohenzollerns of Germany, the Sultanate of the Ottoman Empire, and the Romanovs of Russia, just gone by the end. And the mass movement of all of those soldiers and refugees, trying to get away from war-torn areas, helped spread one of the world's deadliest influenza pandemics, the Spanish flu.
Yay.
The sandwich caused all this, I'm just letting you know. And all of this, of course, leads to World War II, which leads to the nuclear bomb and the inclusion of Asian countries into the world drama. It's just insanity. The Bolshevik Resolution was a result of World War One, or happened within World War One, and then World War Two, and then Lord, when that ended, Russia like took some areas back, and then there was communism, and there was Berlin Wall, and then there was a Cold War, and then the space race. Like, all it's insane how many things happened as a result of the Archduke being assassinated, and like just insanity. But that sandwich not only landed us on the moon, but also led to some really cool things, including wristwatches.
What?
So prior to World War I, a wristwatch was a feminine jewelry item. Men didn't wear wristwatches. They had pocket watches.
Pocket watches, yeah.
But pocket watches weren't super helpful in trenches, and so they created wristwatches for men, and they put like a little protective cage over it, and then they used radium so they could see in the dark. Know where that went. It
Yes,
also
we do.
created the mass production of prosthetic limbs, which is bizarre, but World War I caused a lot of prosthetic limbs to be needed. But more importantly, and the point of the story, that sandwich brought us Pilates, Claire.
Did it?
It did.
How so?
So, German boxer and bodybuilder Joseph Hubertus Pilates was actually in a British internment camp. And while he was in this internment camp, he was trying to help motivate other prisoners to, including those who were like bedridden and like really injured, by trying to get them to exercise to promote movement and health to just help them feel better. And so he created Pilates while in an internment camp. And
What?
after the war, like after he was released, he and his wife developed it into the exercise philosophy that we know, Pilates.
So it's just wild to me that this workout trend that all these soccer moms want to do came out of an internment camp.
An internment camp. It sure
Wow.
did. But also, it brought us vegetarian sausages. So the reason that we have Beyond Meat, Beyond Sausage options at, I guess Starbucks has it and some other places, is because in World War I, they had food shortages, as happen when you cut off supply lines, particularly meat shortages. And so Germans created a cheap meat alternative made from soya, flour, corn, barley, and ground rice. And so I think that the early ones were not super
Right.
tasty,
Probably not.
but it became a thing that later, found their way into today land, where we really embrace a lot of the alternative meats. With the right seasonings, you can't tell.
I mean, that's fair.
But so that is the
If you drown
story.
it in gravy, you
If
can't
you drown it in gravy, you can't tell. That is the story of how a sandwich led to Pilates and vegetarian sausages via World War One.
That's wild.
It
That is wild.
is wild. I will say to all of those who may be screaming at me, there is some suggestion that maybe the dude didn't actually go in for a sandwich, and that that's all a lie. They can't quite trace it back to a specific source. But I mean, it happened in front of Schiller's. Like, it seemed to be a very specific place, and it really was a cafe, and he was there. And it had been a long time since the initial attempt, because he went to City Hall and did all the things. So one can assume he was there getting something to eat and
It
something to
was either
drink.
a sandwich or a cup of coffee,
I
okay?
mean, either way. Either way.
Fine.
But I just was like, it's a bizarre story with all the expired cyanide capsules
I mean, right. Yeah,
and
like that's
jumping
like,
into a
wait,
river and it's
what?
like 2 feet deep. And you're like, well, okay, I guess I'm not gonna die now. Boy.
That's wild.
And just like, if they had bothered to tell the drivers of the car, hey, we're gonna take a different route,
Right,
it
like that's
was,
just like, come on.
it's such a re 'cause you have to wonder if they hadn't assassinated him then. Would it have led to World War One? Like, if he
Right.
had survived, what would the world be like now? Like, I assume eventually tensions would have boiled over, but maybe not to this level.
Right.
It might have been a more contained thing instead of the entire world coming in and being like, boom, 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 explode, explode, explode. So.
But it is, you're like, if it ha that hadn't happened, you're like, would
What,
Hitler ever like come into power, like ever, you know?
right? Because Hitler was only able to rise up from the because of all of the sanctions and the devastation in Germany. That's really
Right.
what helped him have like footing and be charismatic. So I don't know. It's I don't remember being taught any of this in my history classes, other than
Right.
his
No.
assassination led to World War One, and you're like, it sure did. Absolutely did. Everybody had like besties in the wings being like, we got you, we fight for you. No matter what it is, we'll fight. Oh, okay. Seems extreme. But to each their own, what do I know? So there it is. That is my around the world story.
That was interesting.
All right.
That's, I had no idea. I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Right. Well, and like, I know that I learned about the things that came out of war. Like, I know that war is always leads to like a time of innovation because you have to come up with new things or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't recall ever learning that that's how Pilates came about or vegetarian
No.
sausages or even
No.
wristwatches for that matter. So,
Right. Interesting.
Well, Claire,
Yes.
are you ready for this week's sweary affirmation?
Yes, hit me.
Do something today that makes you feel fucking fabulous.
Yes. Fucking fabulous.
Absolutely. All right. It must be time for tarot time with April. Spooky, spooky. Do, 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 do. Well, I will say, so I was editing our. Oh, tell me when to stop. I was editing our podcast that dropped, I guess, technically today or last night, whatever. And I always go, I kind of keep track of the tarot cards from that. And that was the week that we had Judgment and the Pope and I think the Nine of Pentacles. And so that's, and it was like, basically it's time for a change. And I'm like, well, I did quit my job. It's time to learn new things and earn stuff. And I'm like, I did quit my job and it's time to do something else. Okay. And
You're like, and yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then it's like, and then treat yourself the way that you treat other people. And I'm like, yes, I need that.
Stop.
Because I need a break. I am tired, tired.
Retard.
All right, we are starting our week with the Eight of Cups. Our middle of the week will be filled with the Seven of Pentacles. And we will end our week with the Ten of Swords, stabbing us in the back over and over and over and over again. So, yay for that! Aren't you excited? So happy! You're so excited! I can just feel it. Okay. Eight of Cups. I call this the hangover card. Oh,
Nice.
dear. It can be brought into including overdoing it in other ways, like being a tyrant at work, being a party girl when you should be home. It's kind of the morning after walk of shame card. You somehow walked away from the important truths in your life and have to shake your head to knock the cobwebs out. It's a card that happens just before the client asks for redemption. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Oh, essentially, moderation is the key. So don't overdo, Claire. Don't overdo. Don't overdo it, guys.
That card is must be the card for Joe Allen.
Everything in moderation.
Because that is what I, oh God. Anytime I went to a party or anything like that, it was always like, don't overeat. Don't do this. Everything in moderation. God, if I
Oh,
ever heard the word
Lord.
moderation, if I had a dollar for every time my dad said moderation to me, jeez, I could quit my job.
Oh dear. All
That
right.
is Joe Allen's card.
So apparently we're starting our week with a hangover. The middle of the week is gonna be the story of the little red hen. I remember this card. Hard work and waiting for that work to become something tangible. It's fulfilling and enchanting for those who can pace themselves. That's nice. I'm here for that little red hen. Just keep doing it. Just keep going. Just keep doing it. And then we're gonna be stabbed in the back with 10 swords.
Yay.
This is just the worst damn card.
Yes.
The best thing that you can say when this card shows up is that at least things won't get any worse, because this is literally the bottom.
Awesome.
It's excessive, painful, excruciating, and final. Wait.
Hooray.
This one's incredibly long. So I'm gonna just let's see. If essentially it's just lots of bad things and
All the bad
all the
things.
bad things. I think rather than embracing the "you're a failure if you don't get up" ethos, maybe we can accept that wounds need healing, that sometimes everything really does suck, and you need to lie down on your couch and watch all of Broad City while eating boxes of cereal. Broad City? I don't know the show. Sorry, author of the
I don't
book. I
either.
don't know that one.
Let's Google it.
Sometimes you need to whine and cry and tell your friends that everything is awful, because sometimes everything is awful and that's valid. Give yourself 2 weeks to pout and be pissed and sad and pathetic, and then it's time to assess what you're going to do next. So it looks like a really bad week. Awesome. Yay us.
Hooray.
Hangover, and then we're going to work really hard, but then it's all going to fail anyway because we're at the rock bottom. So awesome. Thanks, tarot cards.
Oh, Broad City is a web series
Oh.
that moved to Comedy Central as a half-hour scripted series.
Sure. I believe you. I don't know anything about it. Okay.
It says 20-something best friends who are trying to navigate life in New York, despite that their adventures always seem to lead down unexpected, bizarre paths. They have very little money, but they are survivors who aren't afraid to throw themselves into sticky situations, no matter how messy the end results may be. I've never heard of that.
Never. All right. What is happening next week, Claire?
Don't know. Let's
What's
find
on
out.
our wheel of fate? Fate. No whammies. No
Please.
whammies. No whammies. We're gonna do
Well,
cryptids. I haven't had a cryptid in a while. Have to find us some
sure.
random cryptids to do.
I have a whole calendar at work I can look through.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll find me a Connecticut cryptid
There you
to
go.
indulge in. That'll be fun. All right. Well, there we have it. It's been a fun week around the world.
It
Unless you
has.
were Amelia Earhart and then you starved to death on an island because no one came to look for you there, but
Because you were 350 miles off course.
that's a lot of miles off course.
I mean,
I just,
just saying.
everything about
Wait,
that is
you
awful.
said something about the Spanish flu. I did read a blip that said she actually had the Spanish flu, and she had it so bad they had to do some kind of, they had to like cut something in her sinuses and put like a drain,
Oh, God.
like drain for like
Ugh.
something, and
Ugh. Ugh.
that also would affect her flying
So the sandwich,
and her
what you're
hearing.
saying is that the sandwich is the reason that she got lost.
It might be.
The sandwich caused it to happen. She would have survived,
Oh
maybe.
my God, what is
The
this sandwich?
sandwich! What is this sandwich? Oh.
Because it would mess with her ears, because it really like did a number on her sinus cavity.
That is, it's too much, man. Too much. The sandwich is the root of all evil. What can I say?
We need to find out what sandwich it was.
I tried to look that up. There's no idea. Is because it probably wasn't anything like we would
Yeah.
call a sandwich.
Right.
But the best guesses are would or closest thing that it probably would have been like a cheese sandwich. So
No.
the cheese did it, Claire. Yep,
No.
sorry.
Damn it. I still eat cheese. Forget that.
You're right. Well, until next time, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, subscribe, comment. Tell us any other suggestions you have.
Right.
And you can send us story ideas or any topics you would like us to add to the wheel to us at.
Brunchandjudge at gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
But maybe don't eat a sandwich.
But go ahead and eat one.
Bye.
Bye.